In this life, there are two ultimate paths. One takes you away from God, and the other guides you directly to Him. And this is the path we're here to talk about. Welcome to Disciple Life.
All right. One thing that I was thinking about was, and this is episode 6. So, if people have been listening through, they didn't just pop in on episode 6, but they started through episode 1 on down, it might be good if we say a little bit about ourselves. So, they actually know something about the people that are on here. They might be following this, and they might want a little bit more information, which is fine. Right. And I don't mind giving that out. So, of course, if either of you now say something and you say, oops, that was a little bit too much information. We can edit that out, but I think that people just know that we're three good Christian brothers that have come together for the purpose of discussing discipleship and looking for the Lord to use that to be a blessing. Mm-hmm. But if we can, briefly say something about ourselves for the listening audience and then move on into our subject.
You mind showing us an example of what you're thinking about? So that way we can follow
this suit. This is your way of making me go first, okay? Well, and you can see on the website, but my name is John Thompson. I have been in walking with the Lord now for over 40 years by His grace, and I've been in ministry for most of that time in one form or another. I now am thanking the Lord for being on my second marriage, and that not meaning that I was divorced, but my first wife passed away after about 20 years of marriage, and I'm thankful for the time we had together. Got remarried, and then God did the unthinkable and gave us the kid. So here I am in my older years when I should be bouncing grandchildren on my knee, and I'm dealing with a teenager. So, the Lord has given me a passion for giving out the gospel and for talking with believers about discipleship and seeing how God is growing me and leading me in living as a disciple. And I'm thankful to be able to get together with you guys and do this podcast so that mm-hmm. we can talk about those things. So there you go. Now I put mine in. Go for it.
I'm thankful we can meet too. My name is Randolph Vale. Been enjoying the fellowship of these brothers over the years when we met together at Bethesda Mission.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say Christ's His grace and His word through good teaching has made a huge difference. Probably not recognizable from the man I was maybe a decade ago. You know, it's here's 2025 already, but. Yeah, we hope to always grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. I was married for 23 years. Unfortunately, that ended in divorce and my choosing. But nonetheless, we have two beautiful children. They're adults now. I understand they serve in the Air Force. It's hard to be disconnected from the family when that was my choosing either. But at any rate, thankful that the Lord sustains and the Lord guides. And so one of the things that took place around 2009, when that was finalized, unfortunately, was even before that, was I'm going to put every effort I can into learning about the Lord and sharing Him simply with others. And I'm thankful that He put that desire in me and set me into family. Mm-hmm. Family of God, all over the place, northeast, west, south of this region of Harrisburg. So there's still a lot more growing to do, a lot more learning, and a lot more doing. But I'm thankful to be on that journey and then share Him simply with others. And the opportunity to minister for a little more than a decade over Bethesda Mission has been a joy. Sharing with the guys during chapel and Bible studies. Praise God.
Okay. Thank you, Randolph. Well, my name's Kevin Murphy. As Randolph mentioned, the three of us met at Bethesda Mission. I had served at Bethesda Mission just almost 9 years as a chaplain and one of the life coaches. And it was during a time where I was reorienting my career. Even though I've been walking like you, John, with the Lord for over 4 years. I worked in state government and other places in private industry. And I asked the Lord one day, put me into ministry, and lo and behold, he did that. Mm. Imagine that, Lord answering prayer. Mm-hmm. And so I was at Bethesda Mission. And since that time, have been ordained a deacon. I'm a deacon at Good Shepherd Anglican Church, which is in Carlisle Springs in Pennsylvania. So anyway, pleased to be here. Glad to talk about discipleship. There's no more important thing in the world than discipleship. I've been involved for many years in one way or another with men's ministry, and it's been actually my focus to help men focus in on what it means to be a disciple.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and, you know, speaking of Bethesda Mission, I figured it would come out more, but glad after Randolph said we met at Bethesda Mission, it was clarified that not as residents.
Yeah. Right.
Although
some safe, except for the grace of God, there go I.
That's right. Yeah. And the fact is, I think that because I know with the three of us, because we've come at it from that perspective, not looking like we're better than any of the residents that we may talk to, minister to, or whatever, that there's a genuine understanding that God is the one who raises people up.
Yeah.
And that, and I've told them many times, if it wasn't for God's grace, I'd probably be sitting next to you listening to someone else talk. Mm-hmm. So, I'm thankful for the ministry that we've shared together and to be able to continue, to share the ministry together in this, podcast. And, you know, some of the things that we talk about up until now, I believe we're drawing from our own experiences, but interpreting those experiences through the Word of God, which is what I think everyone should be encouraged to do, because we all have experiences. Mm-hmm. And the relationship we have with the Lord is an experiential relationship. If you're not having a true relationship with Him that is touching every area of your life, then you only know at best about Him. But at the same time, if you don't learn what He says about Himself, if you don't learn what God's Word says, you'll take whatever experiences you have and you'll interpret them however you see fit. You won't know what it is that God is actually ministering in your life without the guidance that He gives us from His Word. And that's why I say that the things that we've been talking about, we've been processing our lives as disciples through what God's Word says about disciples. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate that. And what we've been looking at recently from 2 Peter, I think we've kind of, I won't say stumbled on, but in a sense, God has guided us towards it, I believe, Kevin.
That's a better
word. Right. God, and you know, of course, He guides us to things that it seems like we stumbled on. But you spoke about sometime a few episodes back about the great precious promises that He has for us, and that through these promises we become partakers of the divine natures. And that was just like a light bulb going off, that it's something as disciples we need to realize that God has given promises based upon Him bringing us into this relationship. There's certain things that He is supplying, that He promises to do. And the greater we come into an understanding of this relationship, the more we're able to, the part that you brought out, Randall, the more we're able to participate in the relationship. Because we don't participate out of ignorance. Mm-hmm. We participate from knowledge, from Him showing us. And that's There would be absolutely no reason for the scriptures if it wasn't necessary for us to get an understanding as well as the experience.
No. So. It's an important point because, you know, I remember the late R.C. Sproul made mention of this. He said that, you know, to Christians or disciples who feel that their heart has to be first and foremost in the relationship with Christ, R.C. Sproul had said that, you know, the heart can never comprehend, can never appreciate what the mind first hasn't apprehended.
Right.
And so it's incumbent upon the disciple to be transformed by the renewing of his mind.
Right.
Which we read in Romans 12.
Right.
And we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. And when our minds fully comprehend the great and precious promises that God has made to those who love him and will follow him according to the way of Christ, that's when the heart can become inflamed and proper emotion is brought to bear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I like that, just that the heart cannot comprehend that the mind won't apprehend. Mm. You know, if it hasn't come to your understanding, you cannot participate. It's just not there. That's why scripture, he says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed. You know, some people are sadly on the program of Scripture Plus.
And that's an ancient error. The Apostle Paul addresses that in the book of Galatians.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus plus.
Right.
Jesus plus nothing.
Nothing.
Yes. Right. Jesus plus nothing equals everything.
Right. Exactly. Yes. Yes. And that's and I have to say, you know, we're talking about discipleship. Well, that is a discipline in and of itself.
Mm. Yes.
You discipline yourself to Christ alone plus nothing. Mm-hmm. You discipline yourself to scripture alone plus nothing. These are disciplines that are not natural to the human being, but they are things that are necessary for discipleship.
And it's such an important corrective to keep in mind, because so often we see people, and I'll say they're well-meaning, but they try to import other ways of thinking into their discipleship life, and it doesn't work.
Right.
You know,
right.
If you think that somehow New Age precepts are going to work with your discipleship, it's not going to work. If you try to import, you know, pick whatever ideology it is, if you try to import it into your discipleship life, it's not going to work, because your discipleship life is based on Christ alone and not any ideology of this world.
Right.
Not the ideas of men or some other religion. Mm-hmm. Because all those things are mutually exclusive to the exclusive claims of Christ.
Right.
Because he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right. No one comes unto the Father but by me.
Right, right. And you know, I'll be transparent on this to make the point. You can think, because at one time I thought that I knew him. Mm. Now, I do believe I was a child of God. I believe that he saved me.
A true running grace and knowledge.
Right. But at that time, I thought I knew, and I didn't know like I thought I knew. And the way that I followed him was flawed in many ways. Yeah. But it was because I didn't have the understanding. And you can look throughout the scriptures and you can see where the apostles will say things like that. Say, well, I wanted to come to you and speak to you as mature believers. I wanted to give you meat, but you can't handle meat. I have to give you milk because you're still babies. Mm. And there's a point where he said, you should be teachers, but you need someone to teach you. That it shows that there is a progression in the life of a believer where you move from one stage to the next, just like we do physically, from being a baby to being a teen to being a full grown adult, and then moving in wisdom. And so we're supposed to grow. And in our understanding, and thus in our experience, you know. So,
I'm with you on that. I track with you, because this, you know, been there, done that, to use that expression.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, at one time, talking about transparency, I apprehended Christ through the prism of cultism. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't right then. That wouldn't be right now. But the Lord was gracious and kind. And
right.
He removed me from that and put my feet on the proper path.
Right. And that's an important distinction to make, is that, you know, there's one path. Where we are on it, it's a different story altogether, but it's one path.
Good point.
You know, and I think that a person can be, and we know this from Scripture, a person can be a true child of God. Because what is it that qualifies a person as a child of God?
The indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
The indwelling Holy Spirit, having been regenerated by God. But that doesn't mean that because you are a child of God, that you're walking as you should, that you are understanding what you should. And
hence this podcast.
Exactly.
To help the disciple walk as he should.
Exactly. To encourage the ones who are, and to help to equip and inform the ones who may need that. And I can say for my own life, about 10 years of my beginning walk with the Lord, for about a decade, there were things that I just had way off. Mm. And the Lord, as you said, the Lord brought me out. And he used people. Mm. Now, it doesn't, you know, it wasn't like I heard someone speak from the clouds. He used people. And he worked in my heart and mind and drew me into a better understanding of what it meant to be a disciple. And of course, actually who he is and what the relationship is that we have. Mm-hmm. Because many of us, unfortunately, have learned to build a relationship with God that's based on what we think that relationship is and should be. And it's not informed by Scripture. At least it's not informed by Scripture properly interpreted. You might have all kinds of verses that you could throw around and cherry pick here and there. But what we're looking for is what Jesus told the woman, I think it was the woman at the well, when he said, the Father is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm. John chapter 4.
Yeah. Right. So that's what we're about. I want to go to this, and like I said before, we could probably do this for a couple more episodes. But this, in Peter, we understand that 2 Peter was written with Peter having in mind discipleship and the things that he most wanted to say to them before he died. Mm-hmm. Because in this epistle, he actually tells them in the letter that the Lord has shown him that he will shortly put off this tent. The Lord gave him a revelation that you're not going to be around here long. And so what does Peter think to do? Go fishing? No.
That was the old Peter.
That was the old Peter. Peter thinks, I got to get some things across. And that's why I think this is such a beautiful epistle when we're talking about discipleship, because he's going to say the things that he believes are the most important, being guided by the Holy Spirit for a disciple. And so could we do this just to connect with the earlier episode? Could we read those first four verses that we, because we're going to bookend this epistle. We look at the first four verses and then a few after that in 2 Peter.
You're talking about 2 Peter chapter 3?
In chapter 1 when we started off.
Right.
And we're going to bookend it with the last four verses of the last chapter, which is chapter 3. So if one of you guys could read those first four verses.
That's the first four verses of 2 Peter chapter 1. Mm-hmm. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained the faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, and through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us precious and very great promises, so that through them you may be partakers or become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. I read that in the ESV, by the way, so if you were wondering.
And not to go over everything, because people can look at the previous episodes, but that part about he is granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, you know, these are things that have already been done. The disciple needs to know the difference between what they should be doing and what has already been done. And that's a biggie. And I've made mistakes with those two categories, got them crossed up. But that's a very important distinction, what has already been done and what we should do in response to it. And now what I would like to do then, and this will give us the opportunity where we can go into 2 Peter anywhere in there and start pulling the things out that the Lord has for us there. I want to go to the last chapter. That was the first chapter, first four verses. The last chapter, which is the third chapter of 2 Peter. I'm going to go from verse 14, actually, down to verse 18. And it starts off saying, therefore, beloved, and of course that means everything before it, is the basis of what he's saying here. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Which translation was that?
I'm looking at it here on my phone, so I am not certain. I think it's a New American. I'm not sure. But what I see in here, first of all, I'd like to just point out that Peter references Paul. So anybody who has a problem with Paul has a problem with Peter. Anybody who has a problem with Peter has a problem with Jesus.
Well, not only that, but he even says that the writings of Paul are scripture.
Right, exactly.
You know, which is interesting because you've heard the argument probably made by some people that, well, we didn't really know what the scripture was until several hundred years later when some council was convened and then they declared what the scriptures are. Well, not necessarily so, because here you have the Apostle Peter,
mm-hmm.
Pauling, the writings of the Apostle Paul, scripture.
Right, right.
And I believe Paul, in another place, calls the writings of Luke scripture. There is this interconnectedness, and they understood that they, as apostles, were vehicles for new revelation. Mm-hmm. Therefore, they were able to say, yes, this is scripture.
Right, right. And the fact that when you look at how Paul actually submitted himself to the apostles to make sure that what he was, even though he was led by the Spirit, It goes to show you how God gives credibility to everything through checks and balances that you just cannot deny. And Peter went to see the apostles and submitted to them what he had been preaching. And he said they had nothing to add. Everything that Paul had received was by revelation. And so just to clear that up for anybody, and of course, we might want to discuss that, but we're looking at scripture, whether we're looking at Peter or Paul. Peter here is saying, in that 14th verse, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace without spot and blameless. What things? What things does it say that we, beloved, his disciples, are looking forward to. And I think that's a powerful piece for the whole book, the whole letter of 2 Peter. Because Peter is referencing the things that are for the world to come. He talks about when people say, where's the promise of his coming? And how come I've been hearing he's coming, but he hasn't come yet. And a lot of different things that Peter talks about that have to do with Jesus coming back and things being set right. And the things that we see now are going to pass away.
They will be, as it says in verse 11, dissolved.
Dissolved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So knowing that,
mm-hmm.
disciple,
right?
What manner of persons ought you to be?
There you go.
In holy conduct and godliness.
Right, right. And that's this is another one of those things that I think it's a discipline to continue to stay in that frame of mind that takes into account that everything we're dealing with now that we think are important, the majority of this is going to pass away. Very little of it's going to last into the next age. And that's an important aspect for how you live in this world as a disciple.
Not even we are going to be the way we are now in the next age.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, there's things right now that are important, and they are important. But in the next age, the scripture says they won't even be necessary. They'll be totally irrelevant. One of them is marriage. It's amazing to me to think that something as important as that in this world will not be important in the next.
Oh, will it not be important, or will it be fulfilled because the bride of Christ, the church, will be finally married to the bridegroom?
Right, mm-hmm. right. Yeah. Yeah, and that's another one of those things that we see too in scripture is something happening and then its fulfillment. You know, the law was the most important thing. And then we find out after Christ comes, he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And in fulfilling it, the law became as only a shadow of the real. Mm-hmm. And you know, if somebody comes up to my house and they cast a shadow and I open the door to welcome them in, I don't welcome the shadow. I don't speak to the shadow. I speak to the person. And that's what we have when we look at the law, and that's what we have with the world to come.
Even with Stephen, when he was about to be stoned, he brings up Abraham, you know, before the law. And I think of him as we talk about this, how he's a sojourner. You know, many aspects of his life are just how we should consider how we live before God and his promises and his indwelling spirit and his giving of his word and walking with each other. Just we're traveling through. This isn't our world.
Yeah.
You know, and like Daniel, taken captive into a foreign land. Okay, let's do the best while we're here. Let's pray for the peace of the city we're in. You know, let's have the mindset of Christ himself, who just didn't think of anything to be a servant.
Right.
And he came to serve, not to be served. And so where's our mindset, oh Christian? Mm-hmm. You know, and what are we expecting from whatever outcomes we're in when we're, you know, are we expecting something that's all about us, or where our participation is important? It's like, or are we saying, you know what? To God be the glory. Right. Whatever he wants to do, however he wants to do.
Right. Which goes back to our very first episode. All things that have been created were made for God's purpose alone.
Mm.
And he superintends all things to bring about that purpose. I'm looking here, and this is kind of funny because I'm reading 2 Peter backwards. But in that third chapter there, you go back to the 11th verse, and it says, Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? This is what you just referenced.
Yeah.
What you just referenced. As we look at that, it's saying, what should your life, what should your mindset and all be based upon this truth? Now, when it says all these things will be dissolved, now people go back and forth with what that actually means. Does it mean that the whole earth is going to be incinerated to ash and then everything's going to be remade over again? Or does it just mean that the world system is going to be abolished along with all the evil and sickness and hatred and all that? What does it mean when it says all these things will be dissolved? Well, he says, and with no apology here, just straight out, 10th verse, but the day of the Lord will come. So that's a definite. Mm-hmm. As a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Now, I'm not going to, you know, argue with anybody over whether any of that is metaphorical language or whether it's actual that everything's going to burn. I'm just going to say this. It's saying here, basically, it will all come to an end. It will come to an end. Everything that people put stock in, that they, everything that they live for, whatever, it will all come to an end at the return of Christ.
Yeah. It's interesting. There is an alternative in the New King James translation. The word burned up there has a number four with it. And it says, literally, laid bare or found. Is it talking about a dissolving in the sense of it burning up, or is it talking about a dissolving or being getting rid of by bringing all things to light and laid bare from all to see the folly of it?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore the end of it, and now the ushering in of society of truth and righteousness.
Yeah, well, I can see that as being it, because the scripture does say that everything that's in the darkness will be brought to light, and everything that's whispered will be shouted from the housetops.
That's right.
There's a
layer right there.
Yeah, and of course, I've always related this to the very beginning in your creation narrative, when it says in the very first, one of the first things God did was he separated the light from the darkness, and that's been taking place ever since, in one sense or another. The light has been being separated from the darkness. And the darkness will be abolished.
The wheat from the chaff.
Right. But one thing I'm sure everybody could agree on reading this, is that what is now will end. And what is coming will be, the scripture doesn't say refurbished, it will be new. So this is asking us as disciples, as children of God, what manner of mind should you have seeing that this is all going to end?
Right. And seeing what's coming.
Right.
Shouldn't you be wanting, striving for, trying to get to the things that are coming?
Right, right. Because at the end, it says here, now go back to that 17th verse at the end. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. You know these things. Mm-hmm. So don't get caught up. And then it says, but this is what you should do. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. So this is what it's supposed to be about. All glory to Christ. Now and forever. We're supposed to be planting our feet on that solid foundation that will last beyond the end of all things. And I've said it this way before, because it came to me this way one day, and I just saw it in such simplicity, that we as disciples are supposed to live in this for that. That's as simple as I can see it. We live in this for that. And if we live in this for this, we lose both this and that. It's like we're not focused on this. We're living this life in the reality of the understanding of that this is not, when we breathe our last, it's not the end, it's just getting started. And this age is going to end and a new age is going to begin. That should be the daily understanding of us as we are going about our business in this world, our relationships, our accomplishments, our trials, whatever it may be, our success, our failures, whatever it may be in this world, is supposed to be lived with the understanding that this will end at the return of our Lord. And we're supposed to be hastening, looking forward to that, and looking forward to that with joy. You know, in one of Paul's epistles, he actually said that the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, this loud noise, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and those of us who are still alive at that time will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then that ending is the part that I really like. It says, so shall we ever be with the Lord, so comfort one another with these words. That's supposed to bring the ultimate. When nothing else in this world, no other promise that this world gives us is helpful, the final comfort that we have is that Christ has returned.
You know, some people may say, where is this returning of his? You know, you talk about him returning. And this chapter deals exactly with this, like Peter 3.
Yes, it does.
And they talk about it in such a way, saying, hey, you know, it's been never since, you know, our fathers fell asleep. This, you know, continuing from the beginning of creation, has been the same. Was it verse 5 in 2 Peter chapter 3? They deliberately overlook this fact. The heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And that by the means of these, the world that existed was deluged with water and perished. And here it is in verse 7. By the same word, the heaven and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of the ungodly. Mm-hmm. And so people could say to their own peril, you know, oh, it's always been the same. It's just like, no.
I even know, sir, unfortunately, I know a man who almost used those words exactly. Mm-hmm. He's taken the position that, you know, we haven't heard from Jesus in 2,000 years. Mm. Why doesn't he speak to us? Why doesn't he come clear this up? Why doesn't he show himself, you know?
Right.
He's basically saying everything has continued the way it has been, mm-hmm. you know? And so that, in his mind, that was a reason to doubt mm-hmm. the existence of the Creator.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's not answering when we would like for him to answer, in the way we would like for him to answer.
That's right.
Because he's definitely answering.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
The scripture tells us that what's going on even now for 2,000 years has been a movement towards the day when Jesus will return, and God is superintending the things that are taking place, restraining the evil as well as allowing, and continuing to do what Jesus said he would do, which is build his church in the midst of this darkness.
We've seen quite a bit of evil lately in this past couple of weeks with two very public murders.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we, you know, God forbid, but more than likely we'll see more.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to see all kinds of things. And we in America are not even seeing the stuff that the church is seeing in other places throughout the world. So unbelievable things, ways of persecution.
I don't know their deal. What's going on in Nigeria, the brothers over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so we are looking at the world going on under the providential care of God and seeing the day coming, and we're hoping for that day. What I hope is that anyone who's listening to this, anyone in the church period, anyone who's listening to us, I'm hoping that they will not be like that man.
Yes, that's the whole
point. And not be like that man and realize that just what you were reading, Randolph, it says, God is not slow concerning his promise, as some people might think. He is long-suffering. He's letting things go on so that he can gather the last of his children. He says he doesn't want them to perish. He wants people to come to repentance. He's holding back because he's still saving. He's still putting forth his program, his gospel. Mm-hmm. And the scripture says, and this is what Jesus said out of his own mouth. He said, when this gospel of the kingdom was preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, that doesn't mean countries, that means people, nationalities.
And it also includes all the people of the different generations who have lived and will still live.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So we don't know when that full number will
be. We don't know. But he says, when it happens, when it's done, and only he'll know when that is, it says for sure, and then the end will come. So it's on his calendar, not ours. All we have to know is that he has a day.
And in the meantime, occupy and teach others to to follow this way.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And make ourselves ready as much as possible to continue to learn from the Lord, learn with each other, and share with anyone and everyone, both the body of Christ for maturity, that God ministers to us and through us, and bring in those who are yet to be is on our timeline.
Right.
And I think of just one other thing, and that is the timeline of the souls underneath God's throne. You know, mm-hmm. and say, how long, O Lord, to avenge our deaths?
Right.
You know, those who are martyred. And he says, something was given to them. And it's just a little longer until your full number comes to pass. So there's another marking that God has given.
Yeah.
And especially in light of what you said this past week, you know, there's another person that's been martyred for their faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that full number is growing.
Yeah.
In this age like no other.
And it's, you know, it's something because one of our pastors today just brought that message, ran off before I came here, about the souls under the altar that were saying how long. And basically what they were told was, wait,
a little longer.
And for those people who say, well, it's been 2,000 years, let's not forget that the scripture says 1,000 years is as one day to the Lord. So on his calendar, it's been 2 days. We're not dealing with time the way he's dealing with time. When he will bring it to an end. And this is what we hope that disciples will carry in their mindset as they go through daily life with all of its challenges, that we are on a time clock that God has set.
Yeah.
And we are to be living for that in this. Mm-hmm. That gives us the foundation for our hope. So,
praise God.
All right. I think we can stop there. Yeah, I think we can stop there. And by God's grace, we'll do this again soon. Yeah.